Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We did give you guys the unfortunate news about the passing of legendary sports broadcaster Greg Gumbel at the age of 78. We've got the Deshaun Watson news. Well, we also have the news that you've heard in Anthony Alant's 2020s, which is that former Cavs head coach Mike Brown has been fired by the Sacramento Kings after 2.5 years there. The story's actually getting wilder as more details come out here. Matt George, who covers the Kings for ABC 10 in Sacramento or in the Bay Area, saying that the Kings just fired Mike Brown right before the team boarded a flight to L.A. He just ran a full practice and spent 15 minutes talking to the media. Just bad, man. Bad, bad, bad. I'm going to go ahead and say that was his analysis at the end there. I got to be honest with you. I feel like Mike Brown chose to be in these situations. He chose to go to L.A. at the end of the Kobe era. He chose to go to Sacramento. There were a lot of logical people saying those were bad jobs to take. At the same point, that's a dude that won, like, I think it was like .575 winning percentage his first 2 years in Sacramento. They've lost five straight, which put them below .500. They're five games below .500, and they fire him. That's pretty embarrassing. That's a good coach.
Is so I think this is always kind of a fun conversation, but, like, because everyone always wants to throw out, like, what's the worst organization in sports, like the worst run organization in sports. And honestly, like, the Kings have kind of been, like, a go-to answer for me for, like, many, many years. But in lieu of the Deshaun Watson thing, like, the Browns might be back in the conference. I don't know. What, like, do you think the Kings the Knicks were there for a long time. They seem to finally seem like they've kind of righted the ship a little bit. But, like, the Kings just continue to just do boneheaded things, it seems like.
And somehow, like, because there are a lot of – because here's the thing. This is after two winning seasons.
Yeah.
So it's not like if they didn't even have like one down season and then fire him. Like think about it. Mike Brown got fired today. They have five back games. The Browns have had three or four losing seasons, and Kevin Stefanski. And like, well, and again, that's not the only comparison I want to make, but it's just funny how just absolutely dissolute of a franchise the Sacramento Kings are. It'll be better when they're playing as the Seattle Supersonics in 5 years.
Probably right about that.
What does that mean?
I
feel bad for Kings fans. I legitimately do.
That city, though.
That's the only team they have, and that ownership just takes advantage.
Aren't they expanding, though? Aren't they, like, adding the – aren't they going to add the Supersonics back in as, like, the next – like, as one of the next teams? It's not going to be, like, they actually move a team there, though.
Yeah, maybe.
But they probably should move the Kings.
Yeah. No, they should just – again, I realize I'm punishing Kings fans. They should just strip Vivek Ranadive of his franchise. Like, there really should be relegation for owners. Like, I really – like, I think if you're
NBA relegation is not a bad idea.
For a 10-year stretch, if you're the bottom of the barrel of – you should – there should be a financial penalty. There should be a – you have to, like, give it to, like – I don't know. I mean, in the Haslams, you could just give it to another Haslam. Right? You got JW, you got the girl, I mean, you got the their daughters. They've got a son. I'm sure there's like some second cousin that works in the cap, like Cletus or Joe Bob or something like that. I'm sure there's another Haslam you could give the damn team to. I'm taking shots at the Haslams. My point is Vivek Ranadive should be relegated out of the NBA.
I mean, they've run owners out of the league before. You just got to find some sultry stories that he did something scandalous and then use it against him to get him voted out.
That's true. I mean, listen, everybody thinks there's at least one thing that could get a billionaire in trouble. Listen, I've watched enough shows about billionaires to know everyone's got a fixer.
I mean, he's had to have dropped some racial slur at some point, right? Like,
okay, we're going to hard pivot out of this conversation because Spencer just went to the top of the fireable list today. Getting back to this, because we were talking about the Deshaun Watson latest contract restructuring, Mike on Twitter saying, none of this was in support of Deshaun Watson. It's a we need to solve the money while continuing to play football statement. I think the problem is that now, by spreading the money as far as you can, I do understand that some people read this as this is the beginning of the end of Deshaun in Cleveland. The two problems is it's now become a four-year issue. And remember, the Browns did restructure Deshaun Watson in August again this year when they didn't have to. So there's another thing that they did that complicates this move today. And the second thing that happened is, like, you're still probably going to have to roster him for 2025 and 2026, all in the while spending those resources to compete now when that might not get you any closer to the thing that I really do think. Listen, whether it's Kirk Cousins or Cam Ward or Shador Sanders or Aaron Rodgers or Mac Jones or Daniel Jones, like, whatever quarterback you try and put in here, you can't be thinking in one-year increments. It's so hard. I don't think people understand how hard it is to build a team. And this actually goes in deference to the Browns, how tough it's been for them to build without a starting quarterback for the last 3 years. It's so hard when you're thinking in one-year increments of quarterback. Well, we just got to get to 2026. Or if we just get to 2027. It's so hard to build because everything you do in building that team is reactionary to who you have under center.
I mean, I don't think it's what they did today was not in support of Deshaun Watson. No, I agree with Mike who tweeted at you in that regard. But depending on how they sell it, though, like that's the thing that I think we're all waiting for. Because if they come back next year and they're selling it, because if they plan on rostering him and I don't think they're going to take the route where they pay him just not to be there like the Texans did the last year he was there. I think he's going to be part of the team. He's going to be in the locker room.
Well, I think next year he's going to be on IR.
You think right? For the whole year?
I would be pretty surprised if they brought him off for
Isn't
any
reason.
Isn't
that like an NFLPA
problem,
though?
Well, not if you're coming off an Achilles. Because remember, once you put you on IR, they don't have to bring you off.
Yeah, but he could ultimately end up making the case that like he could play. Like I'm just saying, couldn't that spill into like an NFLPA issue? If he's like, I'm healthy enough to play now, and they're not letting me play.
He tore his Achilles in the middle of the season.
I understand,
it would be
but like
pretty surprising
Kirk Cousins
if he was
Cousins tore his Achilles in the middle of the season. He played this year.
And look how that's going for
Kirk
Cousins.
Well, I'm not saying it's not going well, but like he's still the NFLPA doesn't care about how well you play. They just care about are you healthy enough that you can play, and the team is telling you
well,
you can't.
Well, let's assume that he plays as half the year on the IR for next
okay.
year.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, that I could subscribe to is they kind of like give him time to fully recover.
And that's but all
like,
I was waiting for.
Once he's back. How are you – like, is it like, well, he's just here as kind of like a backup? Is it you're selling it as like he can compete for the job? Is Kevin Stefanski going to come out and say, we think he can still give us a chance to win or he can compete? Like, that's the thing that we're waiting for. Because, like, if they – then it ultimately becomes like they have to sell this somehow
yeah,
to the team
guy,
and
the
publicly.
The guy's radioactive. You can't have him at any point around the franchise in the next year. You just can't.
So you think they're going to pay him to, like, be away?
I think they should. I don't think they will.
You think it'll be on the IR?
No,
you're just not here.
I think by admitting that you're probably going to have to roster him in 2026, I think if he's going to have to be on the roster for the next 2 years, it means you're probably going to have him around the team the next 2 years. And they are like the locker room told you in as explicit of terms as possible. Guys, yes. Listen, the only issue with the Browns is not just that Deshaun Watson is an abhorrent failure as Browns quarterback this year. That's not the only thing. But that whatever residual, I don't want to say dislike, but whatever tension there was, never fully evaporated. So that is part of, like, yeah, part of the last games. What is it? It was seven games with Deshaun, so part of the last eight games. Some of that is leftover stink of whatever would brood in the locker room that Deshaun was a huge part of. Because he couldn't play up to his contract, because he was non-competitive at quarterback, you can't ignore that. And it's funny because in a way, yeah, you're going to tell Miles, hey, part of our plan to be competitive, to keep you happy here for at least one more year, is we've just moved this money around and we're going to bring in this player and we're going to bring in these players. Cool. The problem is you're also going to have to explain to Miles, well, Deshaun's going to be here in some capacity.
Yeah. And yeah. It's not an easy thing to do. I 100% understand that. I just think you're right. He's radioactive, and it's also like the other damning part of it is, as soon as Jameis took over and you go beat Baltimore, and then like he's throwing, like he's giving you these crazy games. I mean, you had Nick Chubb admit in the press conference that he said "I love you" to Jameis Winston in out on the field and during a game. Like, that wasn't stuff that you were getting during Deshaun's time under center. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was pretty obvious, like, how the locker room. The vibe in the locker room changed when they had a different quarterback in there. So, yeah, but like again, that's you have to somehow smooth that over with your team, and you have to smooth that over with Deshaun on some level because he's going to be around and be part of this team in some capacity. It's just a matter of like what that looks like.
But I will say, I want to get back to it. This is the number one question they have to ask themselves with every quarterback, every single quarterback. Are we going to start this guy for the next 2 years? And listen, I'm not saying that doesn't mean you can't draft a guy in 2026, but because then all of a sudden you can have a quarterback battle or you can do a half seat, whatever. But my point is, quarterback instability, it makes it so much harder to compete at a significant level. And I'm cool if you say, well, Deshaun's going to be on in the background, it's going to be a de facto quarterback thing. Okay, I understand that. I'm not going to get behind it, but I can understand it. But the problem is, like, if you look at Kirk Cousins and go, if he can't play, he won't be here in 2026, you're really going to start to hamstring your ability because you've already played quarterback roulette four straight years. It was Baker until it was – who was the – Nick Mullins in 2021.
Yeah.
And then it was Jacoby, and then it was Deshaun.
Case Keenum on that team that year?
And it was Deshaun, and then it was Joe, and then two other guys. And then this year it was Deshaun, and then Jameis. And then, like, this stuff does add up over time, and it becomes really, really tough to win. And I know that they know that, and I know that they're, again, acting out of desperation because they don't have any other choice. But it's just losing the way that they're losing compounds over time, and it becomes like gravity. It becomes like quicksand, and that's something that I know you can't just give up if you're the Browns, but you do have to factor into, if you're thinking about this in one-year increments, man, this could backfire. It just as bad as the Deshaun thing has backfired at this point.
Well, and the way to make it worse is he's on the team, and it still is like a point of contention, and it still is causing problems for you. And I think that's the biggest reason fans are reacting the way they're reacting. They're like, we got two more years of this guy still being around, still answering questions, still, you know, blocking people on social media who are calling him out, and his, you know, his quarterback coach is getting to people's mentions and doing all these different things. Like, it's two more years of all of that people are dreading. It, 2 years of him not being around is one thing, but 2 years of, like, he's probably still going to be here. He's going to be still part of the franchise. I'm guessing he probably won't be on one of the banners on the stadium next year, but we'll see. Maybe they should still try to sell you on
that. Do
we
put him on season tickets? Maybe with like a ha-ha-ha bubble above it?
LOL.
Or maybe like just like a money sign? Like, let's be real about it. Like, let's have some fun with it, right? Let's not take this football thing so seriously.
If you renew your season tickets, it's going directly to paying Deshaun Watson's contract.
Baby, we've got the best verticals and processes here. Just pay us your money and shut up. That's what fandom is. 216-474-0092. We're going to get away from that for a minute because we got Daryl to explain this for us coming up at 6 o'clock. When we come back, how long is too long? 92.3 The Fan. Several impassioned fans have shown up, very frustrated with the state of the Browns after the latest contract reworking of Deshaun Watson. Daryl will talk about that coming up in about 20 minutes. But could you use a palate cleanser? It's been 2 hours of Deshaun. Could you lose a little bit? One?
I think everybody could use a palate cleanser,
All
yes.
All right. So Do you remember, okay, Mitchell Schwartz's brother, Jeff, do you remember he was also an NFL offensive lineman? I knew him a little bit from when he lives in Charlotte.
Now I just know arguing with people on Twitter, but yeah.
But he posted a video that him and his wife and his family got back from Utah at like 9 p.m. yesterday, and he had a video of his wife. And what's funny about this is his wife, Jeff's like 6'7", like 300 pounds still. His wife is like an average size woman, and she was carrying out like a 10-foot Christmas tree, dragging it out of their house on the day after Christmas at 9 p.m. because she couldn't wait to have the tree out of her house. And I thought to myself, that seemed a little obsessive.
I mean, a little obsessive. Like,
it was a very violent drag of the tree. I kind of felt bad for
like
the tree.
That's like some Grinch-level stuff right there. Like, you're that upset that the tree's been in your house this whole time that you got to drag it out of there at the moment you get home from a trip celebrating Christmas?
It sure seemed like in Jeff's presentation of it on social media that she was ready to be done with the Christmas spirit.
So what is the appropriate time to take down your tree? Because I did, like, you know, it's funny. We literally were driving back on Christmas night because we went to my mother-in-law's on Christmas night. She lives in, like, the Youngstown area.
Mm-hmm.
And we were driving back on Christmas night, and this house that – it's not really down the street from us, but, like, on one of these side streets that we drive on to get to our house. These people already had the tree at the curb.
Yeah.
The next morning, I'm guessing the garbage people probably came for their area the next day. Ours came on Tuesday. Theirs must have come on Thursday. And so I saw it there, and I was like, man, they really wasted no time. Like, got opened all the presents, and they were like, all right, we're getting the tree out of here. And I was like, that seems a little quick. In my household, we like to prolong it a little bit. Like, I mean, I'm not saying leave it up till, you know, middle of January or anything, but, like, I think you at least leave it up through New Year's Day, no? Like, doesn't that make some sense?
With respect, I don't necessarily – I don't like when people try and centralize, like, this is the right day to have it. If you want to have it up for 3 weeks, that's fine. I just can't wrap my head around – Christmas is so – we had four different Christmases in 4 days.
Yeah.
So by the day after Christmas, the last thing I wanted to do was tear all the ornaments off, all the lights off, take the tree topper off, then take it out of its stand – and try and find, like, that was the last thing
that,
to me.
You got to find the pickle in the middle of the tree that you hid very well.
Does everybody play hide the pickle? I did not play hide the pickle.
I mean, there might be different variations of hide the pickle for different people.
Well, no, you're saying hide the pickle in a tree. I've never hid the pickle in a tree.
We do that in my house, yeah. We hide it. Usually the person has to find it, and that person gets to open their first present. That's usually how it works for Christmas.
But there's three of you.
Well, we have, like, other relatives, like my brother-in-law,
You let the other people hide the pickle?
If they want. They want to jump in. All right.
I mean, very modern. Very modern. Very good for
it
you
It is 2024,
guys.
You know?
Yeah, it is.
Almost
there's no
2025.
Judgment. That's true. New year. New you. Yeah.
Maybe it's in the same me. I don't know.
Guys, we can't play. We can't. I mean, it's time to hide the pickle, all right? It's 2025. What are we doing here? Now, to me, there's just so much. If it was just as easy as, like, hey, all right, that tree's done. But it's not.
There's
so
a lot
much
that goes
work.
Into it. You got to vacuum up the needles after you get it. Yeah.
And here's the thing: kids love decorating the tree. You know what kids don't love to do?
Taking the tree down.
Take the stuff off the tree and put it away.
So
it's even more work for the parents after Christmas than it is putting the darn thing up at the beginning of December.
If you're somebody that literally was dragging it out like the day of Christmas, like after the presents were done, or like the next day,
that feels like you had a bad Christmas.
Well, I was gonna say you either had a terrible Christmas or you legitimately hate Christmas.
Yeah,
like you just can't stand the holiday.
That's the real war on Christmas,
like,
right?
Like
there.
I know JP was talking about how he put his tree up for like on Monday when I was working the 2020 shift. Like he had just put his tree up like the day before, and it was like 3 days before Christmas. How quickly do you think they took their tree? He took his tree down after putting it up. Is he even going to let it stay up for like a week?
He's got a wedding today, so it's not. But I would be surprised if it was still.
But did he take it down yesterday? No, he was hosting with you yesterday, so there's no way he took it down.
Yeah, I would be surprised though if it's.
So
still
it's going to make it at least
a
week because it'll probably make it through the weekend because they have a wedding today. And then they'll probably recover tomorrow and do the whole Sunday, Monday it'll be.
But I'll be honest with you.
What's even the point of putting it up if you're only going to put it up for a week?
I gotta be honest with you. I paid for a tree.
So
this
did we.
Last couple of years.
And trees are expensive.
Yeah, if I'm gonna put whether it's $80, $100, I've seen people spend. There was a tree at the one tree farm.
You spent over $100
on it. It was like a 15-foot tree. It was like $250. It was a gigantic tree. It was beautiful, by the way. I was so jealous. I wish my house was big enough to have that. But no, like, and I remember thinking, like, every time I look at it and think, oh, I'll go throw that on the fire pit, for that'll be the first thing we burn when the weather changes. Every time I'm like, paid money on it. Got to get the extra week out of it.
I'm with you. The other part of this, too, is like my wife is not like Jeff Schwartz's wife, where clearly she has something against Christmas. I don't know if she was like had a bad experience as a child or something.
Or maybe it was just to this Christmas.
Maybe Santa only brought her coal, and she's just never liked it. But regardless, I am somebody – like my wife loves Christmas. Like if she can listen to Christmas – music like year round.
Okay, that's
she
crazy.
Would. I stop that's, her. Yeah. I tell her like no, and then usually I make her wait. I make her wait.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was working with Harrison.
I mean,
Butker
she might
here.
Still do it. She might still listen to Christmas music in her car on the way to work. I have no idea what
hey,
she listens
babe,
to on the car on the way to work.
Can you turn off the Elvis Christmas
at home,
song and make me
she, like in the middle
sandwich.
Of June? She'll like jokingly play like a Christmas song in the morning just to like annoy me, and I'll be like, stop it, turn it off right now. But no,
I do like Ken Carmen says his marriage is like 1950s, and you're like, it's fine. Mine's in the 1920s.
I mean, that's the only thing I really have any sort of authority over. So, I'm the person who's like, let's, like, not go too soon to Christmas. So, for her, it's like as soon as Halloween's over, it's like, okay, I'm in Christmas mode. For me, I'm like, give me a couple weeks. But, yeah, so because of that, we leave the tree up even longer. Like, we'll leave the tree up until probably next weekend,
I would say. So, if you say, like, what's the longest the tree should stay up, there's no max to me. You want to have that sucker up on the 15th of January, go get it.
You know what's...
But if you're getting rid of that tree one day after Christmas, I have some questions for you. Like, let me help you. Like, let's get some therapy going. That's just a little extra grinchy. Go ahead and talk, because I got to take a picture.
I agree. It's too much. Oh, just you're in the picture. Okay. No, it is very grinchy of you if you are taking your tree down that soon. Now, I will say, there's a house not in our neighborhood, but one of like the extended neighborhoods that we walk past when we take Jackson out for walks sometimes. And this house, legitimately, from last Christmas, they kept their tree up. And we started noticing like in the spring, like, oh, their tree's still up. And so I thought it was like, okay, these people must be like older. They probably like leave and go to Florida after Christmas. Mm-hmm. And like they just come back in like April and take their tree down. Whatever. Nope. Still there in April.
I respect it.
In May.
Yep.
Through the summer. We haven't gone to walk recently because it was too cold. But like I don't know if they just kept the same tree from last year and it's still up in their house. And I wonder like who – like you can walk past their house and in their living room where the tree is, there's a bunch of other Christmas decorations. There's just like big like life-size Grinch.
Fine.
There's all kinds of stuff. I'm so curious about what's going on in this house that they don't take their tree down.
I would rather you live Christmas for 365 than the day after Christmas. You're like, no,
but
Merry
the problem
Christmas,
is I don't think
no
these people
Christmas
live
tree.
Christmas because I don't even know if they're there. It's just like a house of
so
Christmas.
They passed away.
I don't know. There's cars there, and like there's different cars there. Somebody's clearly taking
could it
care
of. Be like a front.
Somebody is taking care of the house, but there's nobody that's ever
this,
like
this
taking
sounds,
the decorations.
This sounds like a
maybe
like
it
a,
is
like a trap house
yeah,
or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
We got to get to the bottom of
there
this.
There's also a restaurant down the street that we're like, I never see anybody there. That must be a front. They are laundering money through this restaurant. It has to be the only explanation.
216-474-0092. What's the quickest you've ever taken down a tree? I'll be honest, this is not a great look. I don't think I've ever taken down a Christmas tree before the first of the year.
Why is that a bad look? I think that's
normal.
The thing, that's what it should be.
Guys,
I just
be
said ours
is going
to be up till next weekend.
I don't know if I've ever taken one before the 10th of January.
I don't think
the longer
that
thing stays up, the more I'm like, that's
you know,
a lot
the good,
of work.
The good
like,
Christians
I've
out there.
Enough.
The Christians out there would tell you the Christmas season goes until the three wise men show up, and that's not even until like June 15th or January 15th. So you're fine. The 10th is fine. In the eyes of the
church. Got some interesting Christian details here from the man with a household from the 1920s. Daryl Ryder next on 92.3 The Fan.